a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you can get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess. Except, like Julie always says...
Walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now, Peter Troy investigates the blue-eyed brazen.
Friends, in a lifetime study of the weaker sex, I've come to one startling conclusion. The guy that tagged the word weaker onto the label was out of his mind. Take Julie, my secretary, for instance. Now, she can reduce a fellow with bulging muscles into a quivering jelly just by giving out with one gentle smile. Take another, for instance. Take Hetty Jensen. Now, there is a blue-eyed bundle of sheer dynamite for you. Hetty can get more out of a man with a murmured sigh than the income tax boys can squeeze out with a bundle of writs. Yes, sir. Just one murmured sigh.
Mm-hmm. It's yours, Hetty. It's all yours.
Mm-hmm.
You like it?
Mm, you show me a single girl in London town who doesn't adore a mink coat. Oh, yes, I like it. I love it.
Well, hey, you better take this, too.
What is it?
It goes with the coat. Just the insurance policy.
£2,000.
That's the valuation on it, Hetty. Don't go leaving it in any railway trains, huh?
I won't let it out of my sight, Rick.
I've never given a woman a mink coat before.
I'm glad.
Come to think of it, I've never spent that much money on anyone but myself.
It's appreciated, I assure you, Rick. I'll treasure this all my life.
That coat's more than a gift, Hetty.
Oh?
It's a token. A contract between us.
Mm-hmm.
If it ever comes back to me...
Oh, now, why should it ever go back to you, Rick?
You may feel inclined to return it one day.
A mink coat?
Or I may take it off you.
Oh, now, you wouldn't be an Indian giver, would you?
I hope not.
What do you mean, Rick?
As I said, if that coat ever comes back to me, Hetty, for any reason, it'll be because we're through.
So?
Think about it.
I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sure you do, my sweet.
Rick, will you please stop acting so mysteriously?
Yeah. Let's drink a toast, Hetty. To us.
To us?
Till death us do part, my dear. There's something so definite about that, isn't there, Hetty? Till death us do part.
Julie's eyes nearly popped out of her head when that fur coat came walking into my Chelsea office just one week later. Of course, it was adorning the slim, trim figure of Hetty Jensen. And I must admit, I did a bit of oogling myself. I have trouble with rent collectors, and it makes me nervous to see £2,000 parading around my inner sanctum. Well, I got around to thinking about what I could do with that sort of dough. 2,000 nuts. That is a lot of lettuce.
Yes, it is a nice coat, isn't it?
Oh, magnificent, Miss Jensen.
What is it with women and fur coats?
Oh, minks, Pete. Mink coats, please.
Sorry.
It's insured for £2,000.
Oh, I believe it. And I'll wager it's worth every penny of that.
And I'll wager that the minks that subscribe to that coat wouldn't agree with you.
Oh, but they died for a wonderful cause.
Well, Miss Jensen, I gather you didn't just come here to model your fur coat for us.
No, of course not. Do you mind if I take it off?
Not at all. I guess you'd be more comfortable. After all, it is the middle of summer.
Who cares? If I owned a coat like that, I'd wear it on the equator.
Would you take the coat for me, Mr. Troy?
Certainly. I'll hang it over here.
Oh, don't bother to hang it up anywhere.
Well, what do you mean?
Perhaps your secretary could find some paper to wrap it up.
Sorry, Miss Jensen, but I'm not tuned in.
The coat was given to me by an admirer just a week ago.
Well, he really was an admirer, wasn't he? But still...
I want it returned to him.
It's the first time I've ever seen my secretary look as though she was about ready to pass out. Now, look, Miss Jensen, if you came here to pitch a gag,
I'm... serious, Mr. Troy. I want the coat returned.
You have to be joking.
And I want you to return it for me, Mr. Troy. There's a fee of £50 for you to do it.
£50 just to deliver a fur coat?
Worth £2,000. I want to make sure it arrives safely.
Where does the admirer live?
Teddington Square, Mayfair.
That's a threatening bus ride away.
Do you want the job or not, Mr. Troy?
All right, all right.
Well, there's your Fee in cash, Mr. Troy. Now, the address...
Now, hold on. There's the whole of the £50 here.
So?
Well, the usual routine is you give me a retainer, I get the balance when I finish the job.
I'm leaving London tonight. I trust you with the assignment. You have a reputation to uphold. The address is apartment 7, Teddington Towers, Teddington Square.
Dan Admirer's name?
Oh, well, I don't think...
Now, listen, I have to know who it is to give it to him.
Roderick Banbrough.
Uh-huh.
You know him?
Oh, I've heard of him. Playboy around town. He's the fellow whose pictures featured weekly in the glossy society magazines. Now, look, Miss Jensen, Rick Banbrough belongs to a wealthy family. As I recall, he's had a flock of girlfriends and...
What are you getting at, Mr. Troy?
Well, it's just that Banbrough can afford to buy a girl a coat like this. He's stacked. Now, if you're through with him, okay. But he wouldn't expect to get the mink back. It's the luck of the game with fellas like him. Be smart. Now, I can put you on to a reputable dealer who...
Mr. Troy, that mink has to go back to Rick. Now, I've got to trust you. I'm giving you £50 to make the delivery. Please don't let me down. Just get that fur back to Rick Banbrough.
All right.
Thank you.
Is there any message to go with it?
No, none at all.
Well, it'll be at Banbrough's place within an hour.
Good. That's all I wanted to hear. Thank you again, Mr. Troy. And goodbye. Well.
I wonder if that fur coat is mink or skunk.
Skunk?
Yes, Julie Honeybun. There's something about this setup that smells mighty peculiar.
Well, I don't see the mystery.
Huh?
Now, Hetty Jensen has finished with the gentleman, and she's returning his gift.
Now, Julie, even you did a double take when she said she wanted him to have this thing back.
Well, all right.
I'll tell you why you did a double take. You summed up the beautiful Hetty in one glance. That little blue-eyed brazen's a gold digger.
Well...
And gold diggers don't go handing back their loot.
Oh, I suppose not.
Oh, one other point, Honeybun.
Mm-hmm.
For all her a plum, I figured her to be a very scared little gold digger. There's a little chink in the armor there for a second or two.
Yes, I noticed that.
And why does she pay a private investigator £50 to make the delivery? Might not get one of the city messenger services to do the job for $10. There's no risk. I'd take it around in an armored car if she wanted them to.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, there's something cockeyed somewhere.
Trouble, Pete?
I don't know. I can't see us running into much trouble with Mr. Roderick Banbrough. I mean, playboys get all their action in nightclubs.
Well, there's Teddington Towers.
Yeah. Anyone who can live in a pile like that can afford to sling mink coats around.
Mm.
Okay, hand me the parcel, Honeybun.
A mink coat wrapped in a newspaper. It's sacrilegious.
And it's life, Julie.
Yeah. Oh, will you look at that place? It's just a fraction smaller than the Houses of Parliament, Pete.
Hmm?
I said, what are you staring at?
A black limousine parked across the way from the entrance to the apartment building.
Huh?
No, don't look around. There's two men in it.
What about them?
Come on, let go. I recognized one of them. Eddie Krantz.
Who's he?
Professional killer. Internationally known assassin, big time, the biggest. With the finger on anyone in this wide world, if you can meet his prices.
What's he doing here?
Well, I don't know. I tangled with him in Montreal some years back. Client hired me to protect him from Krantz. Well, I fell down on a job. I mean, he'd done much better recruiting the whole of the Canadian Mounted Police. Even then, he mightn't have made it. Krantz never misses on an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, apartment 7. It's on the first floor. Take the lift, huh?
You think it's just coincidence that he's out there?
Yeah, probably. There's more than just Roderick Banbrough living in his apartment building.
Oh, of course. Banbrough and Krantz. A playboy and a professional killer. That doesn't make any sense. But shouldn't you warn someone that he's out there?
Well, he's not breaking the law by just sitting in a car. Our friend Inspector Caswell's probably got him tagged anyway. What was the apartment?
7.
7, that's right.
Oh, it's 2 doors down.
Yeah. You know, the question is, who's employing Krantz? More important still, who's going to get the bullet?
Mm.
Yeah, I'll give that some thought after I've delivered the lovely Hetty's mink coat. Oh, here we are. Oh, this radio's someplace, isn't it? You know, when I get rich, I'm going to...
It was a two-way speaker beside the door on your left.
Hmm? It's cute.
Well, who is it?
Yeah, my name's Troy, Peter Troy. I've got something for you from Miss Hetty Jensen.
Yeah?
It has to be delivered personally.
All right. The lock on the door is released. Come in.
Well, this way he does without a butler. An intercom beside the door. That's really something, huh?
Yeah.
Mr. Banbury likes his privacy. Well, come on, honey bun. Let's see how the other half lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, where is everyone?
I've got a funny feeling we're being watched.
All right, Troy, drop the parcel and get your hands up. That goes for the lady, too.
Now, what?
Do
the...
as I say, Troy. You're covered from both sides. Joe, Larry, if he hasn't dropped that parcel in 3 seconds, open fire on them. That's better.
Now, would you mind telling me what all this is about, mister? Look, I'm just the delivery boy.
And you came to deliver a bulletin.
What?
And Hetty Jensen sent you. Oh, I like that touch. A final proof, huh? I wondered who it was. I should have guessed it was the delectable Hetty that organized this.
Now, look, I don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Who's the girl with you?
She's my secretary, Julie Summers.
A gunman with a secretary? What does she do, Troy? Keep a tally on your killings?
Now, you must be some sort of a nut, Banbury. But right now, the gag's grown stale.
Hands up. My boy's a very itchy trigger fingers. This is no gag, Troy. You're not delivering any bullet this trip, my friend. On the contrary, you're going to receive one.
It just had to be some sort of a joke. Didn't make any sense. Roderick Banbury was standing in front of me, and he was holding a gun in his elegant little hand. Mayfair playboy, a gun, a mink coat, and Eddie Krantz, a professional killer, sitting in a car in the street below. Behind Banbury were two of the toughest-looking hoods I'd seen in a long time. Now, if it was a playboy's gag, it was growing thin. I was getting impatient. And I was reminded that nothing ever comes easy for Peter Troy. Not even £50 for a simple delivery job.
Eddie Krantz still sitting down there in the car, eh?
He hasn't moved.
Krantz?
Eddie must be getting old, Troy. Sending other men to do his job now?
Now, look, you've got your lines crossed.
Search him, Joe.
Right, Eric.
I suppose Eddie's sitting down there waiting for the gunshot, Troy. Well, there'll be some shooting in a little while, but he won't hear it. This place is soundproof.
Hey, he's packing a gun, Rick. Smith and Wesson police positive.
Well, of course he's carrying a gun. How else is he supposed to do the job?
I've got a license to carry that thing, Banbury. I'm a private investigator and...
He really does have a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Look,
I... But this is a new departure for Eddie Krantz. He never sent anyone else to do his shooting before.
Could be some sort of trap, Rick.
Yes, I thought about that. But I doubt whether it is. He walks gaily up to the front door, says he's something from Hetty, and expects to come right in and start shooting. Nice, direct approach. Perhaps he thought it had put us off.
Pete, I don't understand.
The girl was a clever idea, though. You never think of a professional killer taking along a girl with him to do a job.
Pete, he really thinks you're a professional killer.
That's right, honey. He thinks I'm employed by Eddie Krantz.
What?
She'd make a fortune on the stage, Troy.
Look, Banbury, I'm not fooling you. My name's Peter Troy, and I am a private investigator. Now, if you just get that gorilla of yours to reach into my inside pocket, he'll find my identification.
And once he's got one hand in your pocket, you jump him. Oh, no, Troy. I wasn't born yesterday. I knew Krantz was on his way here. That's why I was prepared. That's why I had Larry and Joe waiting here. Krantz didn't take me unawares.
I tell you, I have got nothing to do with Krantz. All right, Bamber, all right. Now, let's make a deal.
Ah? I believe our Mr. Troy is cracking. Positively breaking apart,
hmm? Yeah, well, just let Julie go and I'll do anything you want.
Oh, Pete, no.
Save your breath, Troy. You're both going to die, you know. There's nothing in this world surer than that.
All we did was to deliver that fur coat.
Yes, the great denouement. Hetty played the double cross and wanted me to know about it. Yes, she wants me to know that it was she who sold me out. The mink coat was the sign.
Who are you?
Oh, come now. Surely you've seen my picture often enough, haven't you? Roderick Giles, Fitzroy Banbury, my dear chap. Mayfair Gadabout, bon vivant, society fop. Ne'er-do-well aristocrats.
No. Krantz wouldn't be interested in a Mayfair Gadabout.
Didn't they tell you? About me, I mean. My name really is Banbury, you know. My father was a major general in the Indian Army. Frightfully paka. That's the truth. But it makes a good disguise.
Now look, Rick, don't.
Don't tell him. Why? Why not? He's a dead man, Larry. A few more minutes.
Tell me the story, Banbury.
Certainly. This is my town, Troy. Yes, I virtually own London. Thousands of people pay homage to me. Bookies, gamblers, shopkeepers, dope runners, nightclub owners. I allow them to exist.
Do you mean to tell me that... No, you couldn't be.
Mr. Midnight? Yeah. There's a file in Scotland Yard labeled Mr. Midnight. A great, thick, bulging file.
Yes, I know. London's crimes are...
That's right. And not a soul in Scotland Yard knows my true identity, Troy. But then who would think Roderick Banbrigh, Mayfair Gadabout, was the sinister Mr. Midnight?
Well, I'll be... Okay, tell me one thing. Why is Eddie Krantz after you?
He's being paid. Lyons Fidelli is paying him to get rid of me.
What, the Manchester racketeer?
That's right. Fidelli's ambitious. He wants to move into London. But no one can operate in London unless they get rid of me.
And Eddie?
So he must have joined up with him. Hence the return of the coat.
Yes, but even with you dead, how does Fidelli think he can take over?
Because I made the one great mistake of my career, Troy.
What?
I trusted Eddie. I told her who I was and how I operated. That sweet little head of hers, she's carrying the facts and figures about my operation. By now, it'll have passed on to Fidelli. But he can't move unless I'm dead.
Rick.
Hmm?
Look.
Yeah. Someone stopped at Eddie Krantz's car. Oh, there. I'm talking to him. All right, Troy. This is where Krantz makes his second move. And this is where you make your exit. You and the lady.
Yes, I thought so. Eddie Krantz, isn't it?
Who are you?
Caswell's the name. Inspector Caswell, New Scotland Yard.
I haven't done anything.
Haven't you? Mind if I join you in the car? Thank you.
Now, wait a minute, Carver.
My feet are killing me.
Hey, look, you got no right to come barging in here.
You're a visitor to this country. I think I ought to warn you that we take a pretty dim view of people walking around London carrying guns without a proper police permit for them. You are carrying a gun, aren't you?
How do you know about me?
Been following you for the past 48 hours.
Why?
Oh, Manchester police came to the tip.
About what?
About you hobnobbing with Lorenz Fidelli. Mr. Krantz, he's a known criminal. He's under constant surveillance. So if he's seen around with any strangers, we check on him. You've got a very colorful record, we've found.
Yeah. Well, no one's ever been able to pin a rap on me.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so get out of the
You're
car.
You're a suspected professional assassin, Krantz.
Suspected. Get it? Suspected.
And you came to England to do a job for Fidelli, obviously.
Nuts.
Hmm. Well, he was seen to pay you a sum of money. Considerable sum. And rumor has it that the amount was £25,000 sterling. All in nice, new, crisp banknotes.
Now, you're getting nothing out of me.
Nevertheless, I'm going to arrest you, Mr. Krantz.
For what? Carrying a gun?
No.
Well, then?
For passing counterfeit money.
What? You're out of your head. Listen, I never touched Dudley.
An hour ago, you made a purchase at a shop in Half Moon Street. The officer that was following you inspected the note. He found it to be a clever forgery.
Well, that's impossible. I told you I don't have any...
Oh, yes, I believe you. In fact, I go so far as to say that you didn't even know you had it in your possession.
You know, what are you getting at?
Well, Mr. Krantz, Lorenz Fidelli is big time, but he's not all that big. He'd have a job laying his hands on £25,000 cash.
You mean he...
Fidelli started off as a counterfeiter up in Manchester. Obviously, he's still at the game.
He gave me
Yes, I'm sorry, but he was making his payoff with that money, Mr. Krantz.
I'll get him for that.
We'll get him for that. In the meantime, I'm going to arrest you on two serious charges, carrying a gun and passing counterfeit money.
That counterfeiting's a put-up job.
I'm aware of that, but it's still counterfeiting. However, you could possibly make it a little easier on yourself.
Huh? How?
By telling me what you are doing, sitting outside this apartment.
Now, hold it, Banbrigh.
Sorry, Troy, but this is the end of the line.
Rick, that fellow's got into Eddie Kretsch's car.
Oh, another one of his men.
Yeah, could be Fidelli. Look, see if you can recognize him.
You watch Troy and the girl while I see what's going on down there.
Julie, it's now or never.
Yes, please.
I'm going to give you the tip duck for that desk.
Hey, you stop mumbling, you two.
The car's driving away. Maybe they've given up.
Joe, is that my gun you're holding?
That's right, Troy.
Well, I hate to have to tell you this, but that model of the Smith & Wesson has a double safety.
Catch it! What? Julie!
Troy, stay where you are.
Now look.
Hey, you got Joe.
And I got the gun.
So what?
Smith & Wesson ever made as a double safety catch, Buster. Any two-bit hood could have told you that. Julie, you all right?
Peter.
I think she's all right, Troy, but she won't be if you try anything else.
Oh, I'm sorry, Peter. It all happened so fast.
Drop your gun, Bamber, and come over here. Joe's dead and Larry's wounded. You're on your own. Someone will have heard the gunshots and they'll...
You've forgotten, Troy. This place is soundproof. It's like a fortress. An electric lock on the door, bulletproof glass in the window.
You harm her, Bamber.
The only chance you've got that I won't is to drop your gun, Troy.
Can't be all that soundproof. There's someone at the door.
Cramps! Well, he can't get in. You can't pick an electric lock. What was that?
Unless I'm mistaken, it was that electric lock of yours.
It could be. Please, Bamber.
Hey, watch it. He's got a gun.
Julie.
I'm all right, Pete.
Troy, what in the blue blazes?
Oh, it's okay, honey. It's all over. Oh, I'm glad you got here, Inspector.
What the devil are you doing here?
Well, we just came to deliver a coat.
Eh? He's dead, sir. This one over here is dead, sir.
And that one over there is wounded in the shoulder.
Troy, I repeat,
now,
what the devil...
Now, first you tell me how you got here, Inspector.
Well, incredible though it may sound, we got a tip-off from a professional gunman.
Eddie Krantz.
Yes. But how
did... And where's Lorenz Fidello?
In Manchester, under arrest, passing counterfeit bank notes.
Oh, well, it's starting to make sense.
Yeah, I'm afraid Krantz rather blew his top about being paid off in dud money. Sang like a proverbial canary.
Oh, so you know who Bamber is, or was.
Yes, Mr. Midnight himself. Oh, yes, I know. Now, will you please tell me what you're doing here?
It's just as Pete said, Inspector. We came to deliver a fur coat.
Oh, phone for the ambulance, sir. Good, I may need it.
Well, come on, honey, I got some inquiries to make.
About what?
The whereabouts of a certain blue-eyed cutie called Hetty Jensen.
That is dangerous ground. And you'd better walk softly, Peter Troy.
Caught up with the blue-eyed, brazen Hetty Jensen in Manchester. She'd hitched her wagon to Lorenz Fidello's burnt-out star. She told him all about Mr. Midnight's operation, how he could knuckle in after Krantz had finished off Roderick Bamborough. Sending him that fur coat could have tipped him off about the double-cross if he hadn't already known about it. But I wish she'd chosen somebody else as her errand boy. In the meantime, the police have taken custody of the mink coat. It'll become Exhibit A when Fidello, Krantz, and Hetty come up for trial. Now, Julie? Well, she couldn't care less. Since the episode of Teddington Tower, she seems to have gone right off, Mink. She says Ehrman's a much more chic, anyway.